Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, hello there, and welcome to a very special edition of the Pro Wrestling Index here on the Anfield Index podcast channel, because tonight we are going old school for some Royal Rumble nostalgia. I am right in my element here, and I'm not on my own. Oh, no, people. I am joined, as ever, by my audio tag team partner, Mo Chatra. Good evening, Mo.
Good evening, Andy. How are you doing?
I am doing rather well, and we'll get into why very, very shortly. Before that, we did promise we might just have a special guest here with us tonight, and we have delivered, because this two-man booth has become a three-man booth. Joining us is the architect, as he's known. It is, of course, Gags Tandon. Good evening, Gags.
I'm making this shit a triple threat. Come on, let's bring it. Come on. lovely being
back,
guys. You
can't turn that early.
Fucking turning on everyone at the moment. Oh, geez, stop me. I want to turn heel in AI. I want to start fucking slating old Firmino. Nina would kick my ass. She's already the face that runs the place. sorry.
Oh, my word. But Gags, like myself and Mo, I mean, you know, old school fans. I know it's a little while since you've been on this, but you're a long-term fan of the Rumble, aren't you? So we knew you'd be keen to get in on this one.
Oh, I love the Royal Rumble. It's, you know what the main thing about it is? Obviously the 30 man thing's brilliant and fun. And if they do it right, if they book it right, it can be so exciting, but it kicks off the road to WrestleMania as well. So for a wrestling fan, January, end of January, all the way to March is so much fun, because the WWE also produce their best television and their best storylines in that period. So this is the time where maybe those like me that aren't too hardcore, that won't watch every week, will start watching every week, guaranteed, because you want to know exactly what's going on all the way to that build-up to the big one in March or April, actually, this year. I don't know. It's one of the ones at the end. But yeah, that's why this is beautiful for many reasons. It's got so much around it. It kicks off all the big stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And tonight, like we say, this is nostalgia. We're going to go back into the archives and have a bit of fun. When we sort of kind of got into things and really enjoyed it, and lots of the big names over the years been involved, loads of moments to talk about. But we will get into that in a short bit, because first, now we spoke about this on last week's show. The WWE coming to the UK, having this UK championship in Blackpool, and more. Props to yourself, because you, one of the names that you picked out to watch, he only turned out to be the star of the tournament. He may not have won the belt, but by God, he was the star. He was, of course, the Bruiserweight, Pete Dunne.
Oh, God, yeah. He was fantastic all weekend, wasn't he? Had a very memorable segment right at the end of the first night on Saturday, where he attacked his quarterfinal opponent. I think his name was Sam Gradwell. And then there was another segment after the show, which we saw clips of via Twitter or WWE.com, where he squared up to, or rather, William Regal squared up to him backstage and talked about how he put 6 months of his life into the show. And, you know, he didn't say anything, but, I mean, his facial expressions and his smirk was absolutely fantastic. Just a brilliant, brilliant heel. And, you know, he's a 23-year-old kid from Birmingham. You know, he's been around, he's been working since he was a teenager. So he's been wrestling for about 8, 9, 10 years. But, you know, for a kid of that age, he's remarkably talented. And, I've been watching him for about the last year or so, and he's impressed me every time I've seen him. And, you know, this guy's got a massive future in the wrestling business. And, you know, it's very exciting times for him. And indeed, you know, British wrestling in general, because, you know, that was quite the showcase over the weekend. And, you know, people far and wide were just glowing about those two shows, especially the second night, which was just amazing.
Yeah, it was very well done. Now, we spoke about the World of Sport one in the UK recently, and how that was nice to see that back on terrestrial TV, and how they did a good job with it, and it was an enjoyable show. But I think what we saw from this was not so much about, you know, the name value of the people in there, just the whole presentation, how it was put together, how it looked, the feel of it, the venue, the crowd, everything. It was all on spot. And I really do think WWE did such a great job in presenting the show and the way that it was put over. And something else that we spoke about last week as well, you know, about it potentially being an opportunity in a perverse way for Michael Cole to kind of remind us just what he is capable of. And I thought that combination of Michael Cole with Nigel McGuinness, I thought they came across pretty well.
Oh, they did, yeah. I mean, it was a chance for Cole to get away from, you know, being the sports entertainment commentator to just being a wrestling commentator. And he did it really well, clearly researched well for the show. He got one or two things slightly wrong, but on the whole, you know, did his job really well. Nigel McGuinness, I thought, given it was his first two nights in the company, did fantastically well. He's been a very good commentator for Ring of Honor for several years now. Was 10 years ago perhaps the best wrestler coming out of Great Britain. Had some classic matches with Brian Danielson, as he was then known. So those two as a pair worked tremendously well all night. And that just added to the whole occasion, because I thought the crowd was fantastic. Some of the chants they came up with were just genius. You know, the talent up and down the show, I mean, I can't even remember one talent that I thought was really poor, except for possibly Jordan Devlin from OTT, which is a promotion out in Dublin, in Ireland. I thought he looked a bit nervous, but the rest, I thought, you know, made a good showing for themselves. Clearly the tournament winner, Tyler Bate, had a fantastic couple of nights. The main event where he beat Pete Dunne was one of the best matches you'll see this year. And for a kid who's 19 years of age from Dudley, I mean, it's just frightening how good he was and good he is. It was just a masterclass in, you know, working a match and working the crowd. And, you know, for a teenage kid to be doing something like that, it was just beautiful to see. It was really, really good.
It was staggering. I'll be honest. To think that that lad is 19 years old, I was staggered. He has got natural charisma. He is so good. He just has something about him. He looks like he can be a star. Obviously, the only thing that's going to go against him in the future is going to be his size, you know, that old chestnut, so to speak. But watching it back, it was at the end of his semi-final win over Wolfgang. Now, there was something, the way that came to a crescendo, them two had the crowd absolutely on point. And you know, for two guys who have not, you know, they're not major stars, they don't have that experience level that, you know, the top performers have, the way that they brought that crowd to, you were right, just at the right moment, so high, it was fantastic. And I think it was, you know, telltale of the whole weekend. I think that match kind of typified how the weekend went. You know, it built and built and built, you know, like a really good match. It just kind of gained momentum and got better as it went along. And then, yeah, at the end, finished off with an incredible night. Really was great drama. Even an appearance from Neville, which again just added to Neville's character at the moment. And I think the fans got an absolute treat. And I don't know about yourself, Mo, but look, listeners, if you haven't seen it, you really must go check it out. I'm not saying it's quite as good as CWC. I'm not saying it's the greatest thing you've ever seen, but I promise you this. If you sit down and you watch it, you will enjoy it. It was really, really good.
I totally agree. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Two great shows, especially night two. As you say, built fantastically well. I mean, one of the things I was a bit nervous about was that there were certain proportion of that 16 that were entered into the tournament. I wasn't quite sure if they were quite right for the tournament. But in the end, it made sense to me because the company's intention, Regal's intention was, okay, we don't want to make everyone a star because if everyone is of an equal footing, then will any two or three really get over? So it was designed to try and get two specific individuals more over than the rest whilst trying to get another three or four over to a reasonable extent too. And if that was the intention, then it worked a treat because, you know, Dunn and Tyler got over fantastically well and became stars as a result. And, you know, we're going to see more of those two in the WWE in the coming weeks, months, years. And, you know, there were others, you know, the likes of Wolfgang and Mark Andrews, who made a fantastic showing for themselves. Trent Seven as well from Gag's hometown of Wolverhampton. He also did really well over the two nights. So, yeah, it was just a roaring success. And it's going to lead to a network weekly WWE UK show as well. So they'll be back. I'm not sure exactly when, but they'll be taping stuff. And, it's going to be a really good show on the network. And just showed once again what I've been saying on Pro Wrestling Index for the last year or so now, that, you know, British wrestling is on a real high. And, if people can believe it, there's, you know, as much as we saw some great talent there, there was plenty more that weren't even on this show who got so much to offer the business and even the WWE if they're interested in them. So exciting times for the WWE UK concept, exciting times for British wrestling. Massive thumbs up all round.
Well, moving on from the good news stories that was the UK tournament to more, a new story with WWE at the over the weekend that I know you wanted to talk about, and that was the passing of Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
That's right, yes. So Jimmy Superfly Snuka was one of the biggest stars in the wrestling business, really, in the late 70s, early 80s, and was a staple part of the WWF and throughout the 80s into the 90s. Passed away at the age of, I think it was 73, on Sunday. And, it was quite a controversial story because just a week and a half before that, charges against him for a death of what was a girlfriend of his back in 1983 were dropped. And they weren't dropped because of a lack of evidence or because he was considered innocent. It was because he was considered mentally incapable of standing trial. And also he was in very poor health. He'd been in hospice for quite a while. It was kind of if you want to look at it that way, a sad end to his life for somebody who had quite a life, full of highs and lows. But unfortunately, the thing that he would probably best be remembered for is this tragic story involving a girl called Nancy Argentino, who was his one of his girlfriends. He was married at the time in 1983, but like a lot of wrestlers did at the time and even today, had various girlfriends that they'd meet up with around the country. And she was one of his partners. And one night in 1983, she was found dead in the motel room. And he claimed that she'd fallen out of a car, I think it was, and the autopsy report, which was only found and made public about 3 years ago, in fact showed that some of the injuries were very, very horrific and certainly not, you know, compatible with the kind of story that Jimmy Snooker had come out with. And the reason the autopsy report was dug out 3 years ago, sorry, in 2013, is because in 2012, Jimmy Snooker released an autobiography where he, you know, covered that incident, but his story in his autobiography was different to what he told police back in 83, which a journalist local to the area where this death occurred dug into and found that there were these inconsistencies, which then led to the charges being brought up again in recent years. It's a very, very murky story. It involved Vince McMahon and allegations that he effectively bribed the district attorney in that area and other local officials to kill the story. The coroner apparently suggested it was homicide, yet no charges were ever filed at that time after Vince McMahon accompanied Jimmy Snooker to meet with the police and the DA. I think it was 1st of June 83. So that's actually something that, while some people might think goes away because Snooker has died, that might not necessarily be the case. And, you know, it might still be that some people still try and go after Vince about exactly what happened that led to that, what potentially would have been a murder inquiry being dropped without any charges or further investigation. But that's, a sad thing, because Jimmy Snooker was a revolutionary character and performer. And, you know, one of the things that he was most famous for in the ring was his Madison Square Garden superfly splash off the top of the cage. Right, on Don the Rock Morocco, which Mick Foley has talked about as leaving an impression on him that lasted with him, you know, throughout his life and inspired him to become a pro wrestler, and it inspired many others. So, it's a sad story involving that death of his girlfriend, a partner. But at the same time, he had a very memorable career. And for those of us who certainly grew up watching WWF in the late 80s, early 90s, he was certainly one of the more memorable characters, with some very unique, fantastic ring entrance music and that, you know, top rope splash, which was a sight to behold, but a sad story in many respects. And WWE paid tribute to him on Raw. It was a sad situation involving how things panned out in his later years.
Yeah, I'm sure more will come out from that one over the coming years. Moving on from that, though. Just before we actually get into our Rumble nostalgia, one last little snippet of news as well, and this is one that particularly interests me. It is the announcement of the first member of this year's Hall of Fame, and it's quite an announcement in my book. It's Kurt Angle, and
this is going to wrestle. Is he going to wrestle? That's the question.
If he's in the Hall of Fame, I'd say there's a fair chance he might turn up at the Rumble, or we might see him in some kind of action.
He said at Mania. I'm going home. So basically, yes. I don't know. But,
well,
ooh,
yeah,
it'd be interesting.
More. He's where they're bringing him in is originally. I mean, this has come from him basically getting involved with the video game, and, you know, this has kind of been the avenue for bringing people back, you know, where maybe their parting wasn't so great over the years, you know, the likes of Goldberg, Ultimate Warrior, and then it was a pathway for Sting to come in, you know, the WWE video game kind of seems to set things up nicely for people making nostalgic returns. And so Kurt Angle is going to be in the Hall of Fame this year then.
Well, that's right. And I think it's a very well-deserved induction. I mean, if people like Coco Beware can be in the Hall of Fame, then somebody like Kurt Angle certainly deserves to be in. You know, he was arguably WWE's best wrestler in terms of in-ring action in the first half of the noughties, you know, from around 2000 to 2005. You know, we had some fantastic wrestlers, some fantastic workers around, the likes of Shawn Michaels, Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, but Kurt Angle was right up there, had so many fantastic matches. And even on TV, never mind pay-per-views, I mean, he'd have, you know, little 5, 6, 7, 8 minute matches, but they'd be all action and, really impressive. And, that kind of intense, kind of work rate that he had, certainly took a toll on him. And it's part of the reason why he ended up leaving the WWE, because Vince thought this guy was on a one-way road to self-destruction and, thought he was going to basically die and kill himself or overdo it on pills, because, he was on so many painkillers to try and manage with the pain that he was suffering day in, day out. Vince thought that this was only going to end one way. And it's only now that he's finally agreed to allow Kurt Angle back in. Kurt's been willing to come back to the WWE for several years now. I mean, he obviously had a very good run in TNA. But, you know, his kind of love of TNA and working there ran out many years back, and he was always ready to come back, but Vince never agreed to it until now. I certainly hope he'll make an appearance at the Rumble. If he does, you know, the pop will just be through the roof in the Alamo Dome, and the induction at the Hall of Fame will be great as well, and already looking forward to hearing what he has to say. As a performer at his peak, he was superb. And I mean, even in 2016, I saw some of his matches on the independent scene, and he was still very, very good. So, I mean, if WWE wants to use him in the ring, even this year, he can still, work very, very good matches. So at the very least, I hope he puts in an appearance at the Rumble just for
the sake. If he gets a Mania match, he'll smash it. Watch.
Oh God, yeah.
If he gets a Mania match, him and Cena, watch, they'll go mental. They'll smash it. I don't think they'll give him
what
Cena.
What about you? I think if he's going to be at Mania, I've got a feeling it'll probably be something with Rusev, you know, the whole American hero angle and all that. But
Rusev would probably do good with him. Probably do well with him, actually.
He could. I mean, Angle was the best in the world for a period. But what about you then, Gags? What about your thoughts on Kurt Angle joining the Hall of Fame?
Well deserved. Really well deserved. You know, he came in, debuted at a Royal Rumble, did he? Was it?
I think. Oh, it's quite
I'm thinking of the Taz fight, aren't I?
Yeah, Taz Rumble. Yeah, yeah.
So basically, I just thought he just brought so much to the ring. You know, the ring, and not only that, he got over brilliant with his mic skills. Everything. He was just an all round fantastic act. It was such a shame when he had to go, like Mo said, you know, because he was going off the rails, and he's one of the stories, isn't he? That this is how you don't do it. Outside of the ring, and all the stuff that he's had so much has happened to him. What a story, you know. But if he's got it back together, which he must have, because otherwise I don't think Vince and Triple H would get him back in. If he's all got it all back together and he's fit to go for one last run, mate, we're in for some really good addition to the roster. And if he's only doing, like, even if he comes back and just does the main shows, so doesn't do house shows, just keeps himself fit and healthy. I'm telling you, it just adds so much strength to the roster. He could have a match with anyone on TV and make them look $1 million. So he'll just get youngsters over as well. I reckon just chuck him with all the youngsters and let them, you know, let him go with them. I think it'll just be so good for them to learn. I think if you think about it, a lot of people used to say that about Shawn Michaels when they fought or they wrestled with Shawn. They'd come out of it, or with Brett, and they'd say they'd learned so much and they'd put them up to another level. So this is the type of thing you want. You want people to learn. And I don't think there's many like that. I don't think there's many that can tell the story, you know, so well. They're good ones. They're amazing ones. Like, they've done well, but he's got pedigree, you know, of that era as well. So I think it's, if he's in the, not just in the Hall of Fame, it's great for the Hall of Fame. Yep, deserves it. But it'd be so much better if he's like coming back for a bit as well. I don't know if that's the case, but the way he tweeted, you know, I'm coming home, it felt like there's more to it than just the Hall of Fame. So
yeah, well, let's Let's hope so. Let's hope so. Anyway, that's enough of all the current events. Let's get in our time machine. Let's head back into the past and let's unlock those memories from the Royal Rumble and let's have some fun, because I love the Rumble. But before we really sort of start really delving into things, I want to kick things off with a little bit of a quiz. Okay, just a bit of trivia, a bit of fun. What I've got, guys, is I've got five questions each. So, Gags, I'm going to give you your five questions first, and we'll see how you get on. And then Mo's got five. And in case we have a tiebreak situation, I've even got a question lined up for that. This is preparation, guys. This is preparation. It's all on. Right, Gags.
Mo's going to smash me. Obviously, he's written about wrestling.
I might have given you all the easy ones.
Well, I might have made your question slightly easier.
Well, yes, I did give you that 20 quid note, you know.
I haven't run the pen over it to check whether it's real yet.
Damn it!
So let's just hang for you. Anyway, question one. Who was the winner of the first ever Royal Rumble?
Oh, God. Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Correct.
Yeah.
Number two, who holds the record for the most Royal Rumble wins?
These are easy. Stone Cold, isn't it? Three.
Yes, that is correct. Who holds the record for the longest time in a single Royal Rumble match?
Oh, God, the longest time in a Royal Rumble match. Was it one of the early days?
No Googling.
No, I'm not. Or was it was a Backlund had it. Mysterio? I don't know, it was one of them. Mysterio.
Yes.
Oh, no
it was,
way!
It was Rey Mysterio, yes.
Fucking hell! I thought it was either them.
You did that one, go on. You're doing well. Right, question number four. How many winners have there been from entrant number one?
Oh, Jesus. Entrance number one.
Bit of a random one for you. If you're not sure, have a guess.
I think it's a trick question. I think it's none.
Ooh, no, there have been two.
Really?
Shawn Michaels and Chris Benoit.
Were they both ones?
Yeah, they were both entrant number one. Right, your fifth and final. Yeah.
Okay.
Your fifth and final question is, what was unique about the 1994 Royal Rumble?
Was it a draw? Was it the?
Oh, I can't believe you got that.
Yeah, Bret Hart and Luger. I remember that because of Yokozuna. They were both went to play. Then it was WrestleMania 10 after that, wasn't it? It was the big one.
It was 13 after that.
Oh, was
one,
it 13?
Yeah.
Oh, was it?
Oh, hang on.
No, it was 10 because Bret Hart had to,
Sorry, my mind was getting muddled up, but you're right.
Basically, 10 was the big WrestleMania because it had like, Owen Hart versus Bret Hart, had Shawn Michaels versus, Razor. So yeah, I remember it well, that one.
Okay. Gags, you got four.
He's going to get five, isn't he? I feel good.
That was quite impressive.
I'm going to lose this now.
Right. Right, Mo. You are, of course, the analyst. The specialist, the man with all
no
the knowledge.
Pressure.
So no pressure, Mo. No pressure at all. If you lose this, of course, you'll never be able to hold your head up high again.
Won't know.
But no pressure. There's no pressure. So question number one. We've mentioned who won the first ever Royal Rumble, but who won the second Royal Rumble?
Hulk Hogan.
No. It was Big John Studd in 1989.
What a great question. Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Question number two. Who holds the record for the most Rumble eliminations in total? No, accumulated eliminations.
Oh, that's an easy one. That's Kane.
Yes. Who holds the record for the shortest time in a Royal Rumble match?
It's either Santino or Bushwhacker Luke, I think. I'll go with Santino.
You are correct. Santino took the record from Bushwhacker Luke. Question number four. How many winners have there been from entrant number 30?
Oh, blimey. Three?
Yes, they have. The Undertaker, John Cena, and last year's Triple H.
Bloody hell!
Right. Question five, to take it to a tiebreaker. What was unique about the 2011 Royal Rumble?
I'm not going to leave this one down. I'll have to pass.
I'll give you one tiny clue.
And then.
Alberto Del Rio won it.
He's passed it, man! Don't do that! I won!
No, still don't know. Go on.
It was the only ever 40-man Royal Rumble.
Oh, yes, of course.
So the winner was Gags.
It's unbelievable!
But just for a bit of fun, okay, this was going to be the tiebreaker question. See if either of you can get this one. Only one man has ever won the Rumble on more than one occasion from the same entrant number. Now, can you name him?
I know it. I'm gonna let Mo see if he gets it. I know it. I think I'm right.
He won it twice, and both times he won it, he entered the Rumble with the same number.
He's a Hollywood star now.
Oh, The Rock?
No, Batista, I think.
Batista, yeah. In at number 28, Gags knows his Royal Rumbles.
I'm here, Ronnie.
I swear to God, me and Andy have not confided on this. I swear, I just...
So everyone, we hope you enjoyed the show.
So Rumble Quizmaster.
There you go, you see, champion. We're just unlocking those little memories.
It's usually really bad, but with the Rumble, I love the Rumble. I do love the Rumble.
Well, this is my first thing. Then, and Gags, I'll stick with you on this. I know you'd already alluded to it earlier, but you know, just what is it that makes the Royal Rumble feel so special? Do you think?
I think obviously there's so many people involved. I think it's much more special. I'll be honest with you, when the title's on the line, you know, when the title's on the line. At the Rumble, it makes it so special, like, oh my God, this is huge now. But I still think getting the title shot's massive. Don't get me wrong. But and the fact that the title shot's there as well, there's something to play for. It's like the Champions League, you know? You can basically begin a whole new storyline. Someone who's had no build at all, if the WWE just all of a sudden signs someone and says, you know what, we want to put you straight into the title picture. They can do it by winning the Rumble, legitimize someone. They don't ever do it recently because they're fucking wusses, right? They're pussies and they're fucking giving it to Reigns all the time or whoever, or trying to push the wrong people in our books, in our eyes. But they can do it if they want to, you know, and they can legitimize somebody immediately with a Rumble win. It's got that much prestige now. You know, or has had in the past. And also, it's just the concept of it, the way people hang on to get thrown out, and it's just rivalries that occur in the middle of them, they're the best. When they're booked beautifully, so a rivalry happens, like as in someone that hates each other, or even a past one. In the old days, they used to do stuff like Piper and Flair, and like, probably people watching WWE would be like, why do they hate each other? Why are they fighting like that? Like, what's going on? They have fucking no idea about the NWA shit that went on, you know? But people like me that were reading PWI magazine, sorry, this is the pod, not the pod, but the actual Pro Wrestling Illustrated, would know of all these brilliant feuds that are going on. There would be little things that they drop in for the smart fan that it would work. And I don't know, Mo, if you agree with that, but there would be hints of stuff. But then there'd be the normal WWE rivalries as well that they'd put in there and go mental with. But also, I think some of it was also house show stuff. So you wouldn't see that these guys on TV are fighting on the house shows or having a feud in house shows. But then they'd bring them up and show something in a Rumble match that maybe the people that are attending will have seen before, but people in the UK would never have seen. So there was like loads of little things in there that's just nice to know or think. But I think there was a stage where it was getting really, really well booked. But in the last few years, I've not enjoyed it. The CM Punk one, when he left, I thought it was a horrendous Royal Rumble. I thought it was absolutely horrendous. I can't remember. Was it 2014? It was terrible.
Yes,
that one. It was a terrible. So I was so gutted at the end of it, and that's one of the other things. If you can feel gutted at the end of a at the end of a Royal Rumble, it's because you love it so much, you want it to be amazing, you know? So I just think there's so much that can come out of it. Like I said before, you can start feuds off, you know, if just by someone eliminating someone, you can break tag teams up from it. You can do so much if it's done right, yeah? They could play all 30 people, if it's booked correctly. Every single elimination can mean something. But I don't think they've got a roster yet. I really hope they add NXT guys in, because it could really be hot. Because I think, obviously, they do the NXT show now, don't they, the night before? So a lot of that crowd might be the same from the night before. So you could actually get huge pops for NXT stars as well. And if they're in the Rumble, it'd just make it another... Like I said, they got a chance this year to put it on another level if they want, with how they got people over in NXT. And I just hope they do it.
Yeah. More, what about yourself then? Because, I mean, you've heard characters out. I loved even things like, you know, tag teams, like going well back. Demolition would be in there and they'd fight each other until somebody else came in. You know, it was that concept that it didn't matter who your friends were, who your teammates were, anything. Everybody could fight anybody. You could just see something completely different, and it was so fast paced. There was just something so different about it. I just loved it. But I mean, what do you think makes the Rumble as special as it is?
I think it's arguably the most unique match in all of wrestling, certainly in all of the WWE. It's the kind of match that you know you will only see once a year in the WWE. And, it's the kind of match that the WWE can pull off better than others. I mean, there are other independent promotions that try to do Royal Rumble type matches, but, you know, it's a kind of match that works off of dynamics and, you know, seeing individuals that you don't normally see going up against one another. And, you know, that's something that works most effectively with the help of TV. And, you know, we've seen people on TV every week, but not interacting with one another. And yet in this one match, we do see them interacting, as kind of Gad was suggesting earlier on. You know, that's part of the allure of it and, what attracts people to it. And, you know, you see, you know, whether it's a certain small moment in a match or maybe over several minutes, you'll see these unique things that you don't see for the rest of the year. And, what you will also get are these surprises. The WWE almost always year in, year out in these Rumble matches will deliver a surprise, whether it's, a big surprise return or whether it's a surprise elimination. There's always some surprises there. I think that the WWE generally, tries to book the matches to be more interesting, certainly in the middle part. And if you go back to some of the earlier Rumbles, 1992 aside, which was just, quite amazing because of Ric Flair and Bobby Heenan and commentary, a lot of those matches were typically guy comes out, makes his entrance, comes into the ring, and after about 15 seconds, it's everyone, you know, at the edge of the ring trying to throw an opponent out. And that would get a bit boring in a way, but, you know, the WWE bookers, whether it's Pat Patterson or other road agents, they do try and mix it up a little bit more and try and make it a bit more action-packed. But as Gags mentioned also, that hasn't worked particularly well in recent years, most notably because the fans haven't got what they wanted. And in recent years, what they wanted was Daniel Bryan to win the Rumble. And when they didn't get that, they reacted very, very badly. And that almost killed the match. And, you know, that was part of the reason why almost on one night, Roman Reigns became a very loathed figure. Before that Royal Rumble win, what was it now? 2 years, 3 years ago. He was, you know, somebody that fans solidly rooted for, but because it was him that was winning that Rumble and not Daniel Bryan, the fans in that crowd turned on him big time. Even with The Rock coming out to try and celebrate with him, they still weren't accepting the result. And as a result of that, the fans, you know, in subsequent weeks were giving him that kind of same mixed reaction. And he's never ever recovered from that. So that's the power of the Rumble. You know, it can work to make a star, but it can also work to break a star. Stakes are very high. And, you know, it's, those are some of the reasons why it's such a special match. And it's one of those matches that, throughout the year, you know, you'll remember certain moments, certain outcomes from it that you might not from other matches throughout most other shows in the calendar year.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, actually, on, the power of the Rumble. That's quite a statement and a very true one. And just to switch things up there, we're talking about mixing between the past and the here and now in terms of the Rumble and the feel of it, how special it is. But let's step back in time. And Gags, which one was your first ever Royal Rumble? What year was the first time you ever saw the Royal Rumble?
I think it was the first one they televised. I don't think Hacksaw's or John Studd's were televised, I think, as a pay-per-view. I think the
as
first...
in here in the UK, sorry.
Yeah. I think I don't think Hacksaw's was even a pay-per-view, you know. I really don't. I think it was just a show.
No, it wasn't. No.
So I don't even... Even John Studd's, I think Hogan's one was the first... The one that Mo got his question right for. That was the first one that they did as a pay-per-view. And it kicked off. So that was the first one I watched. I think it was the year of the, it was the year after, it was just after WrestleMania 5, I think, was it? Or just before?
That would be, that would be 1990.
Hogan. Yeah.
Yeah, Hogan won it. That was actually my first ever Royal Rumble. And
was that Hogan and Warrior? Just the tease.
Hogan and Warrior had the face off and ended up, being the match at WrestleMania 6. It was also the end of that Rumble after he won it. It was the shot of Hogan holding up that bedsheet that somebody had coloured in with Hulkamania Lives Forever that got used on so many snippets for years and years. So, yeah, we share the same one. More was yours, 1990, 91, round about that time?
It was 1990 as well, that's right. So clean sweep. It was a great Rumble, wasn't it?
How old we are?
Oh, I can't say. Just a wee little nipper. No, it was a very memorable Rumble because, obviously, at the time, like yourselves, a young kid, seeing all these larger than life superstars, obviously your Hogan's, your Macho Man's, Ravishing Rick Rude, Jake the Snake Roberts, Powers of Pain, Demolition, and so many others. You know, they really were larger than life characters in every respect. And it was just quite a spectacle. And obviously, being the first Rumble that we ever saw, it was unlike any match we'd ever seen. And, you know, for something like that, it left clearly that lasting impression. And It was just a very memorable kind of show and a memorable match and something that was also special because it was the precursor to WrestleMania 6, Hogan against the Warrior, which also was one of the most memorable matches of our childhood, and that was all part of that kind of long term build towards that big match in the Toronto Sky Dome, wasn't it? So
it was great stuff. I mean, I got into watching wrestling just after WrestleMania 5, so to see Hogan and Warrior go face to face like they did, that was a moment.
It was first time ever they did that. Yeah, it was mad.
Yeah, it wasn't as a kid at that point. In them times. You didn't have baby faces facing off like that.
It was actual fantasy wrestling stuff, you know. It was actual, the first time you'd actually thought, this ain't happening, is it? Wow. Yeah. And they don't have any of that anymore. They don't have those builds anymore, you know. And that was the beauty of that time. There were enough matchups within the actual company itself to feel special. And actually, these two were quite rare. You don't get... You know, that was the Rock Austin of that era, you know. That was like, the Hogan Warrior is the first coming. And then there were two majorly over selling so much merchandise, you know. Mad it just had to happen. And then the only other time I know it happen is Rock Austin. I don't know if you agree with that, Mo. I've never seen that ever again.
I agree, yeah. Yeah, it was just an amazing dynamic. Hogan was obviously the biggest star in all of professional wrestling worldwide. And, you know, in about 18 months, 2 years leading up to that Rumble, the Ultimate Warrior became the hottest new star. Even though Sting at the same time was rapidly rising in WCW, the WWF was obviously the bigger company. And, you know, the Warrior became huge, with his ring entrances, with his, music, with the hair, with the face paint, running at 100 miles an hour, shaking the ropes. He was a very unique character. And, you know, for young kids at that time, he was as larger than life as he could possibly get. So for these two to come together, it was, unlike anything that we see in wrestling these days. And never mind wrestling. I mean, in any walk of life, you know, there's not UFC, there's not boxing. It was just an amazing rivalry. And to see them come head to head and then to see them have a match, it was magical. It was really, really special.
The power of the Rumble, you see. That phrase will keep coming back to us. Now, Mo, I'll stay with you here on this one, because, I mean, it wouldn't be a wrestling show if we didn't have a good old moan. So I know we don't really want to be negative on this, but, you know, has there ever been a Rumble or a moment of Rumble that really disappointed you?
Yeah, I mean, I was just looking back at the Rumble's past in preparation for this show, and the 2005 Rumble is one that I've probably forgotten, actually. But when I was looking back at it, it really was a poor Rumble. Batista won it, and obviously that set up his big match against Triple H at the following WrestleMania, at which he won the WWE title. But it was a match which was short of action, short of creative booking, didn't have really inspiring kind of surprise returns, and for the most part was very, very forgettable. And that's probably the reason why I'd forgotten it. So looking back, that was quite poor. I remember the 93 Rumble also is one that was quite disappointed by. I think Yokozuna won that one. And the reason I was disappointed is because the previous year we had one of the all-time great Rumbles in 92. And, you know, expectations were high after that one. And then, you know, the year later with 93, it was really disappointing. So those two, but I'd actually go with 2005 as the worst one, of those that have occurred in the last nearly 30 years.
Yeah. I mean, I've been watching quite a few over the weekend. I started off on the very first one and got about as far as 2001, that I can't believe I watched so many.
That's amazing. I want to do that as well. I don't get time. I don't remember.
I was just flicking through.
I don't remember Randy Orton winning it. This is how I tell that it was shit. I don't remember Orton winning it. I don't remember Sheamus winning it. Yeah. I don't remember Del Rio winning it. So
see, I've got one for you. This is going back to the highest point, 1999, you know, when Mr. McMahon won it, that really was like, oh God.
It was terrible. You know, like, as in like, why?
As but a finish.
It was memorable though, because
that,
what the hell? Like, really? It was memorable in that way. But like I said, I think he actually built himself up well, kind of, you know, it was believable, because I think he got a lot of help, didn't he? You know, it wasn't like it wasn't a clean win, you know? So that as long as it's not someone just, if he went out and threw 20 out, you know, and then won it, it would be fucking pathetic. But because there was a story behind it, or what was going to go with it, you kind of live with it a little bit better. Do you get what I mean, Andy? Even though it's a farce.
Yeah,
result,
I know what you mean. Yeah. He did spend a lot of time out of the ring, and you know, that you had all that kind of going on, but I think it was just the fan of me watching it at the time. It was like, oh, you know, oh, I can't believe they've done that. Like when they put the belt on him that short period, it's just like, oh my word, you know, yeah. Why do that?
That was a time Vince Russo was a major part of creative, so no surprise there. Then I'm sure it was
okay,
his idea.
Then, yeah. that makes sense now. Yeah. So what about? I mean, more you've mentioned 92 there.
Oh,
Gads, what about
this
you?
Is my favorite though.
Come
don't
on,
go
favorite,
to Mo.
Favorite
don't go
Rumbles?
To Mo. Do not go to Mo. He nicks.
Come on,
all Gags, my
stuff. I'll let you go first.
Right.
Mo said he's already mentioned 92. I mean, we'll come back for him.
It's got to be 92. There's no other Rumble that's better than 92. I'm sorry. There is. I will watch Royal Rumble 92 over and over again for booking, for commentating. I'm sorry. The commentary on a Rumble has to be spot
awesome.
On, right?
Awesome.
Heenan and Gorilla nailed 92. Heenan in particular nailed 92 because you just didn't think Flair was going to win. Because of the way Heenan was acting as well. You just didn't think it. You thought, nah, he's out in a minute. He's out in a minute. It was not believable. The fact that no one had won it either from that number. Coming in at 3 or whatever it was. I think it was 2 or 3? 3. 3. He was 3rd. Was it 2?
He was 2, yeah.
No,
yeah.
I think he was 1st. He walked out. He was number 3, I'm sure. Anyway, doesn't matter. Because it was DiBiase and someone else to start with, wasn't it? I remember it that well.
I think you're right.
Piper, wasn't it? Was it?
I think it was number 3, yeah.
Something like that. But it was tremendous because also he had all of that shit about the fake title and all that. And not the fake title, the title that got banned on TV. It was, but also if you were like me and you knew who he was and you weren't just a WWE-ite, so you just like, who's this guy? You know, who's this guy? If you knew, you were like, This guy should be the real deal in this company. This guy should be fighting Hogan. You know, this guy should be up there. He's the real world champion. You know, he is. And they obviously tried to get him over like that with the belt and try and educate people. But if you, like me, yourself, maybe Andy and Mo, knew who this guy was, I actually wanted him to win it, even though he was the heel, because I wanted something different. I wanted something fresh, even back then, like we are now. We were calling for it then, and it was Sid was there. He was part of the Horsemen as well, wasn't he? Sid, that's right, Mo.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I wanted him to win it even more because I was like, Sid's in this as well. There's all these little links. And how many ex champions were there? There was like Slaughter and Savage, and there was like flipping. Obviously, Sid Vicious was in there. Hogan was in there. Taker was in there. You had
Roddy Piper.
You had all these names in there, right? And it was huge, such a huge rumble. And for him, and he was sweating like a fucking pig. The picture of him winning, they had to bloody carry him out the bloody, you know, out the ring, right? And then his speech at the end, you know, was perfect. And with it's still etched in my head, you know. And he's so emotional in it. It meant something. And you don't get those moments. You don't get them again. For me, probably one of the best pay-per-views of all time as well, just because of that. I love it. I would watch it today. I'd switch it on now while I talk to you, if I could.
I watched that one over the weekend, and I've watched that one previously a couple of times. It is something else. It really, really is. Is that just definitively your favourite Rumble then, 92?
Oh, it has to be, yeah. Absolutely. Like I say, I mean, it's part of what the three of us grew up with as well. So it has a special kind of sentimental kind of factor to it as well. Maybe if you're a young kid who didn't grow up in that era, and you watch it now, it might not mean quite as much to you as it does to us, but, you know, watching it, talking about it at school even, saying, oh, did you watch that match? And, things like that. I mean, I actually didn't have Sky at the time, so I had to wait a few days to kind of borrow the tape off one of my mates. And, it was worth the wait though, because, that was just one of the most amazing performances. As you say, Gags, I mean, not only in the ring, but on commentary, it was arguably Bobby Heenan's finest hour, you know, behind the microphone, just, one of the all time great commentary jobs, you know, really sold the match fantastically well. Flair did fantastic in the ring as well. You know, some of his interactions with the likes of Piper in particular, just, you know, things that we'll always remember. It was just great all round. You know, I just don't think you can argue that that wasn't the best Rumble. It just was. I don't think there's any argument.
Yeah. I mean, I go so far as to say Ric Flair had fun out there that night, you know, because he worked with so many people he'd been in the ring with for so many years previous, and obviously was, you know, good friends with a lot of those guys. For me, he had an absolute ball out there.
Oh, he did. Yeah, he did. You know, he had fantastic fun. I'm sure it was one of the highlights of his career. It was just superb all round. Honourable mentions, though. I mean, I was thinking about, well, if it wasn't the 92 Rumble, what's the next best one? And I go with 2008, surprise return from John Cena. It was Madison Square Garden. I think it was he and Triple H right at the end. It was a really, really well-booked Royal Rumble. We even had Jimmy Snuka, we talked about earlier, and Roddy Piper as a nostalgia moment, squaring off against each other. And, you know, they had a lot of history, obviously, in Madison Square Garden. And, you know, there's a lot of stars in that match as well. It was really well done, really impressive. And, you know, if I didn't pick 92, then my honourable mention would have to go to 2008.
I liked 98, Andy, the Austin one when Tyson was
well,
watching.
I'm just gonna come to them. One last thing on 1992 Royal Rumble. I think just on your, Gags, on your point of the commentary as well, is this is a Rumble you don't even have to watch it. You could just listen. You could literally just listen to it and you would know exactly what's happening and really thoroughly enjoy it and not want to come away from it. That's how good the commentary was. Heenan was just an absolute genius with a microphone.
Whining,
absolutely
master.
Superb.
He's just whining the whole time.
He was brilliant.
And the gorilla
brilliant.
Was like, will you stop? Will you stop?
Yeah,
will you stop?
Those two together. Well, just to move on from an actual Rumble to some favourite moments, because I've got a couple. Now, going back to 97 Royal Rumble. Now, this, you know, the beginning of 1997, Stone Cold Steve Austin had already won the King of the Ring, and he, you know, that, you know, kind of made him a bit of a star. But I think 97 Royal Rumble, I think he really sort of took the next step up. He really sort of moved up right up to that, you know, upper echelon. And that was the one where he put out Bart Gunn and started doing the push-ups, and then he sat in the corner checking his watch, you know, for when's the next guy coming out. Have you guys got any special moments, you know, that really memorable moments from, you know, a few different Rumbles then?
I like the Austin one when he's fighting with everyone, and then I think, is it Bret Hart that comes out? And then he's like, shit. is that one of them? I think that's one. I like the ending of Bret Hart and Lex Luger, because how the hell did they manage to get that? So how did they do that? How did they get
incredible.
That perfect? Because, you know, they must have practiced that. How many times? Seriously, they must have. Because how do you get that right in one go in a match that's live? It's not easy, man. It's not. And obviously, I'll give credit to Bret because Luger wasn't exactly the best worker out there, but they hit the floor at the same fucking time. Every replay showed it. So it was just a shocking moment. There's been loads of funny ones as well. I enjoy when one person goes absolutely mental and starts throwing loads of people out. With Diesel, in the early days when Diesel came out, I also like Skinning the Cat. I also like people like Shawn Michaels, who just used to never go out and hold on. And I was always partial to Davey Boy Smith early on because he was from England, and you know he'd fly the flag for us and be proud and all this. And he always got so close and would go out like third last, you know, or second last. There was a time when he would always be there hanging on, and you'd be all like, shit, gutted. Like, I think Shawn Michaels used to throw him out most of the time. So things like that, there used to be funny stuff as well. But yeah, it's hard to go and just pick out on one. It is difficult, but there's been loads of good performances. Yeah. Like the Austin one's the best one, though. just sitting there waiting. Come on. that is like a really good Rumble memory. I love it when someone does that and says, bring it. And then they just shit themselves. Jake the Snake, actually, when he brings his snake out a couple of times, that was always, I think he brought his snake out on one, which was funny, and just cleared the ring.
I mean, I was like you for Bulldog. I was always rooting for him. I was always disappointed that he never got anywhere. What about you, Mo? Any favourite little snippets of Rumble moments?
I'm always partial to a surprise return. You know, even if it's somebody like the Godfather, I think he made, I think, one or two surprise Rumble returns. And I think the last one was only, is it last year, year before? It was a recent one, though, wasn't there? And it's just the kind of pop that crowd, you know, with the crowd reaction and obviously not having seen somebody for many years. And even if they only come out there for a few seconds, just the ring entrance alone is always good to see. And, you know, you have to also mention, in terms of Royal Rumble moments, some of those great Kofi Kingston escapes when it looked like he was about to be eliminated, and he came up with a really clever, smart way of avoiding elimination, whether it was landing on the barrier or, you know, ending up on the announce table and then getting back on a announcer's chair back to the ring, or, you know, doing a handstand and getting back into the ring. Those are always, for several years, things that we'd always look out for. When Kofi came out, we'd always think, okay, what's he going to do this year? But, you know, it's one of the things that you're almost guaranteed that, you know, WWE will book, you know, memorable moments. And that's part of what makes a Rumble match so special.
Yeah, I almost feel bad that we've got this far in the pod before Kofi Kingston, and his spectacular escapes have got a mention. That's a good one. That's a good one. I mean, like you mentioned, in, you know, the surprise entrance there. What about your favourite ones? What do you think's been, you know, some of the best surprise entrance then, Mo?
I think the John Cena one back in 2008 was, you know, a really, really good one, because nobody expected him to be back at that time. The talk at that time was that he would be out till even past WrestleMania. And that's why nobody expected him back in the Rumble match. And then when he walked out, I mean, his cap was over his eyes, and I thought, no, it's somebody else. It's somebody pretending to be Cena. And then he puts his head up and, oh, it's John Cena. I thought, holy shit. I was really shocked by that. I really loved the Booker T return. That was, what, 2011 or 2012, sometime around then. And again, the crowd reaction that got. I think it was the exact same Rumble that Diesel made the surprise return as well. Both returns just got a fantastic reaction. They hadn't been on TV for years, and Diesel especially. And, you know, just that kind of moment of nostalgia that you get from that surprise return of somebody who's not been around for a while. You know, it's just that pop, and it's a special moment. So those are probably my favourite three.
What about you then, Gags? I mean, Mo's got it down to three. Have you got a top three surprise entrance?
He's mentioned a few of them there. I think the Diesel one coming back was good. I think it was just a couple of years ago, wasn't it, when he came back as Diesel?
It was about four years ago, I think.
Yeah. So that was surprising. That was good, because you never thought he'd come back as Diesel. You always thought he's always going to be Kevin Nash now. And so that was like, oh, okay, cool. And then I think, who was the other one? I think AJ Styles was great this year. I think it was hype, though. It wasn't like a surprise, was it? I think we kind of knew.
I think there was a lot of doubt, because there was kind of, it was halfway between, I think.
Yeah,
people thought he was, but then you'd heard them kind of rumors before, so people were like, "Nah, it's not going to happen." And then there was talk he was still in Japan. So,
and remember, for someone like me who'd never watched AJ prior to WWE, so there was hype for him. I was excited to see what this guy was about, and he didn't disappoint, did he? He had a really good showing, and they booked him well as well, I thought. they booked him decent. You know, it wasn't like a, it wasn't like a screw, like they didn't screw him over or nothing. So yeah, that was a good one as well.
That moment of him and Roman Reigns stood there.
Yeah, it was great. It's such a pop. Did you hear the pop? Oh man, yeah. That's what you want, the pop.
Yeah,
the
pop Hogan is the key. Warrior all over again.
Yeah. It was fantastic. I mean, we haven't touched on like matches, you know, like matches from Rumbles. Non-Rumble matches, like, you know, like the I Quit match between Rock and Mankind. Yeah? That was not Mankind, or Mick Foley, whichever it was. Can you remember that one?
Yes.
Mental. I do recall that. Brutal. Like, it has to go down as one that you remember. And as a kid, I was so upset when Warrior lost the title. It was that Royal Rumble, wasn't it, when he lost it to Sergeant Slaughter?
In 1991.
Yeah.
That was the 1991 Rumble.
He lost it because he was the King of the Ring, Macho, and he smacked him in the head with it. And then he just kind of drags him over and pins him. And as a kid, you're just crying. You're like, I was 12. I was like, this can't happen. Who's this Sergeant Slaughter shit? What's this? I was upset.
Yeah,
because
that was playing on the, it was playing up to
Iraq
the
War,
War at the time,
so
wasn't it?
Shit.
Yeah.
It was so bad. Oh, yeah. Sorry, I had to mention those because those stand out in my head. Those as memories, especially the Hot Warrior losing, it killed me as a kid.
What about things that, I mean, like Bubba Ray Dudley coming back two, three years ago now, before they brought D-Von back in and reformed them as a tag team, you know, that night, I mean, that pop he got as well, that nobody expected that one at the time, did they?
No, they didn't. No, that was a massive pop, wasn't it? Great reaction. And, you know, he did one or two of the Dudley boy spots, obviously without D-Von, but it was great to see. And, now that's why I'm really, really hoping that they allow Kurt Angle to work the Rumble match. And, you know, 60,000 fans will be in that building. And, you know, imagine if he walks through as a surprise entrant. The reaction will just be unbelievable. So, you know, if WWE can make that happen, I think a lot of fans will be very grateful. But, you know, anything can happen.
Yeah. I mean, well, it kind of takes me back now as well is thinking about it. It was Chris Jericho, after he'd been away for probably best part of around a year, something like that, where he was touring with Fozzy and doing other stuff. And he was a surprise. Nobody expected that. And, you know, his entrance, that got a huge pop, even though, you know, you'd seen Chris Jericho a lot. And that's it. It's that. I think that surprise element just really does add something to the Rumble that perhaps you didn't get so much in the older Rumbles, that because of how popular the brand has become over the past sort of 20, 25 years, they now have this ability to sort of dip in nostalgia acts. And like you say, like we've discussed earlier, you know, that they can come in and they might only have to work a minute, 2 minutes tops. The pop alone is enough, and it's a memorable moment, isn't it? And Gags, I've got one here for you then. One last question for you each. Apart from Kurt Angle, if you could drop yourself back into that late 90s, maybe even early 2000s, if you could bring someone back from there realistically as to make an appearance as a surprise entrant into this year's Royal Rumble, who would it be? I'll let you go first, Gags.
Can it be a tag team?
I'll let you have a tag team if you want, since you won the quiz.
I want the Hardys. I want the Hardys back. I want them now.
That's a great shout.
Yeah, I think they'll add so much to either the tag team division or the singles. It would just be great to see them back. And again, it just what WWE needs is legitimate singles or tag teams that can elevate others and elevate matches and elevate cards, no matter where they are, what spot. And I think these two individuals do it. And, this problem is getting people to work part-time. But, yeah, I think they would be absolutely fantastic. Paul Heyman tweeted something about deleting Matt Hardy today, or Brock Lesnar deleting Matt Hardy. So it does – and he said, oops, am I allowed to say that? And it just – things like that. I know it's his Twitter account. It's separate to WWE. It just makes me hope. It raises my hopes of things. I hate Paul Heyman, the bastard.
Well, we've although been nowhere without hope.
Exactly. I do love him as well. Sorry.
Come on then, Mo. Who would you pick out from the past then, as if you could pick a surprise entrant for this year?
Going the Clown? No. You know, I probably would have gone with Matt Hardy, probably Jeff Hardy as well. Because I've seen some of their work in TNA, and Broken Matt Hardy as a character is one of the best gimmicks in the whole of the wrestling business right now. And it's interesting you mention him, Gags, because his contract is up at the end of the month, only 2 days before the Royal Rumble. Sorry, 2 days after the Royal Rumble. So it's quite possible that WWE will say, okay, you know, we'll rather pay off that 2 days of the contract to TNA and allow, if not Matt, then both Matt and Jeff to work the Rumble match and return back.
When is Jeff's like, up? Is Jeff's already up?
No, it's at the same time, I believe. Both are up at the end of the January.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So they've not signed or re-signed with TNA. So no, they'll technically be free agents on the 31st of January, which is only, I think, 2 days after the Rumble. So, you know, if WWE's got any sense, they should sign them up straight away, because they've still got so much to offer, and they're still fantastic. And
they'll be so over.
Oh God, yeah. I mean, if you think the Kurt Angle reaction will be huge, I mean, 60,000 fans doing the delete chant will just be unbelievable. So I'm really hoping that can happen. And, you know, I can't top that. You know, that's a fantastic shout from you, Gags. There's nobody. I mean, because it's not only a nostalgia thing about, you know, familiar faces from the past. These are also two individuals that still can offer a lot to the company in the present and the future. And, you know, that would be the best kind of return on somebody who comes back without any.
And also, Mo, doesn't it suit them now that because it's split by brand, there's more opportunity to grow? You know, there's more titles to win. They can join up, or they can go separate, whatever they want to do. With the two brands, it makes it easier. When it's one brand, you're fighting for one title. There's so many people. You can get lost in the shuffle. You don't get the push. But when you're two brands, this is the time to go and get agents, you know, the free agents or those that can elevate. And like we say sometimes, even though SmackDown is the better show, like when you watch it, like, because when the draft happened, we moaned, didn't we? We were like, what the fuck? Raw have taken everything. Mm-hmm. But they, even though they've got everything, they can't fill the 3 hours. So more people like this fills another 15-20 minute spot, I reckon. It's just quality. It's like in the Attitude Era. They pretty much had every act over, right? And those hours would fly by. So they need to really get people in that are either built up or can build others. So I just think they'd be losing. Like you said, they'd be stupid not to do this. This is such a fantastic moment to get them. If they got both of them in, like if one turned up, then pretty much people would be waiting for the other one.
Is it about time for me to suggest Ahmed Johnson then?
Who? Yeah. Oh, he was so hyped up, man. Jesus. Didn't he injure loads of people?
Yeah, he was pretty terrible.
Didn't he injure loads of people? Like, oh god.
Yeah. Forget hyped up. He's ballooned up. I mean, he's almost the size of Yokozuna now. Yeah. So, might have a bit of trouble getting in the ring, I think. I don't think we can top Matt and Jeff Hardy. I think that's certainly the.
I think that's a good shout. I think that is a good shout. Now, listen, guys, we're going to leave it there anyway. Yeah, had some fun looking back. Before we do go, though, Gags, I'll let you go first because I'm sure you've got plenty to plug. Let the folks know, the good folks out there, let them know what you're about, what's going on, anything to plug.
Oh, plenty to plug. First of all, follow these two guys at Andy Armchair and at Mo Chatra. Deserve much more of a following. And fantastic. Thank you for all the hard work on this show. And then just the new stuff, really. Get on AITV at Anfield Index Television. At Anfield Index TV, and also at AI Audible. There's loads more coming on both of those things, so keep an eye on them, keep watching, keep listening. It's something new that we kicked off in 2017, so again, it's all free as well. So do support us, because we are continuing to expand and explore new ways to get content to you. So yeah, please do.
Superb. Superb indeed. And more, what about yourself? Have you got anything you'd like to plug?
Should be recording another MMA Monthly with the one and only Dave Hendrick. And looking forward to that. There's plenty of stuff going on in the UFC and mixed martial arts at the moment. So, as always, we'll have lots to kind of mull over, talk about and debate and possibly even argue about. So, that'll be the second edition of MMA Monthly. The first one is available via the AI channel app. So please do check it out.
Yes, do indeed. Please, folks, go out, check that MMA Monthly out with Mo and Dave. Really good listen. But that's it for this Royal Rumble Nostalgia edition of the Pro Wrestling Index here on the Anfield Index podcast channel. We'll be back next week with a Royal Rumble preview show. But until then, from Mo Chatterer, Gag Standard, and myself, Andy Wales, it's bye-bye now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.